Just Like God, the new song from Sean Rodriguez on the Thursday Drive on WJTL. I'm Lisa Landis, and Matt Wheeler is in the studio.
Hi,
Matt.
Lisa.
I am so excited. So we were playing some Jeopardy parody songs and some CCM songs that have game shows in the lyrics. We also started off with some game. I called it the Game Thursday theme set because, you know, there was an amazing Knicks game last night.
Oh, sure.
And then we have the World Cup starting today. So
it's
this
true.
Is perfect. But your World Cup NBA Finals is tonight.
Yeah, so my Super Bowl, whatever you want to call it.
It's call
the,
it.
The big event.
Yeah.
For a long time, I've been wanting to be on Jeopardy.
Yeah, and, I know.
Little old me from Mountjoy, Pennsylvania, will be on the Alex Trebek stage. Well, I already was, but, you know, 6 weeks ago, but we're all going to see it this
evening. So just to let everyone know, so 6 weeks ago is when you filmed.
Yes.
We can't give away any spoilers.
Right.
But you basically, you film a lot of shows in one day, I think.
It's a whole week of shows in one day. So this evening you'd be seeing what was the fourth taping, April 16th. So this is a while ago. It's going to be really interesting to see on the big screen because I saw it first person and I saw the other games, you know, from the green room without commercials and with Ken Jennings doing Q&A during the, and one time munching kettle chips during the commercial break. Yeah.
Is that his snack of choice?
Well, it was in the game that was right after lunch because they have a commissary right there on the Sony Pictures lot. And we all went and got lunch and then came back and...
So where did you go to film?
So that's a good point. Culver City, California. Sony Picture Studios out there. I had never been to LA area. So this was my first time getting out there. But I do a lot of traveling with music, you know, flying and driving and all this. So that part wasn't too, it didn't take too much acclimating. It's already like something I do. And it's kind of prepared me well for that. Although one fun fact that's no kind of a spoiler is that, there's two different hotels that the Jeopardy crew suggests for you to stay at, and because they have discount codes. And so I chose one of them and I was staying there and it was nice. And actually I woke up like wee hours of the morning, because of course I'm on East Coast time, you know, so I briefly woke up wee hours of the morning and like noticed there weren't any lights on. I couldn't get the light switch on. And I looked outside and like there weren't lights on out there either. Like there was actually a power outage. So and a bunch of other of the competitors from the green room that day had dealt with the great power outage of 2026 in Culver City at the courtyard. So and one of the guys told me that he had to take a cold shower by the light of his cell phone. So that was an interesting way to kick off the day.
I would think so.
And then we went to the studio and, you know, it was everything I had imagined and more.
So how do you audition to get on Jeopardy?
Sure.
I'm thinking it's quite a process.
Yeah, it is. So for me, there were three different stages. So anyone listening right now, if they're not driving, but on a computer or a phone, wants to pull up the Anytime test that hasn't done it last year, you can do that. Anyone can do that. It's the first thing. And there's 50 questions. Don't have to be answered in the form of a question either.
Okay.
And you have to get a passing score, which they don't tell you what that is. Conventional wisdom says it's probably like 35 out of 50. For them to take you to the next stage, which is on Zoom, and it's basically another Anytime test, but this time proctored and the things are read aloud. And then if you pass that, then they invite you back for a gameplay audition. These are all like a few months apart.
Okay.
I did the gameplay audition where it's like it's on Zoom, but it's basically like it's like the game screen, and you use you know, like a click pen, which is what I use for my you know, signaling device stand in.
Yeah.
They just want to see how you would navigate the board and interview and stuff like that. So after that, back in July, I was told I was in the pool for up to 2 years. They could call and have me come and be on the show or not. And that expires, you start everything over again. But so then in March, I was sitting at home watching NCAA tournament basketball and got a call from California from a number I didn't recognize and didn't answer it at first. And then, but I went to voicemail and I had a voicemail and a text from the Jeopardy producer team. And so of course I did then call them back.
Of course,
and
you're going to call them back.
They were like, would you like to be on Jeopardy? I'm like,
of course.
Yes, sir, I would. And so they gave me a date that worked providentially well.
Yeah. Back in the day, and it was the old studio, Fred and I interviewed Brad Rutter. It was one of his earlier runs. And I remember him saying something about different topics that are a given you must know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so I tried to focus on areas that weren't already areas of strength. Like, I would consider areas of strength for me music, geography, sports, history, areas like that. But then there's some others, like ones I definitely wanted to brush up on were like opera, like famous operas and plots and composers, Shakespeare characters and plots and plays, and presidents and vice presidents get a surprising amount of, just the other evening there was a, if you knew who Alvin Barkley was, then you'd have a chance. If you didn't, it just seemed totally obscure. And actually there were two books that I read that a friend of mine, Renee Mathis, so she's out in Louisiana, I know her from the Rab Room community, and she was a champion back in 2008, because I knew she had been on. I let her know about the audition process when I was partway through, and she was like, oh, here are a few things to know, just like general tips, and also like I can send you some books. And so one of them that she sent me was called, literally called Secrets of the Jeopardy Champions, and it was from 1992, so some of the behind the scenes stuff they're giving you was a little outdated, but like the general like types of topics and things, like those lists of opera and Shakespeare and presidents, vice presidents and capitals and weird little quirky facts was really helpful. And another was a book called Prisoner of Trebekistan, which was Bob Harris's humorous memoir that also had a fair amount of sound strategy as well. So that I was reading mostly on the plane right there. And that I found genuinely helpful. Both of them were. So, and Renee on the card when she sent me the books said that she feels like a genuine Jeopardy fairy godmother. So that's how I refer to her.
Great. Yeah. Well, Matt, so, okay. A couple of those topics, I think I could do the presidents.
Sure.
But my thing is I would be a horrible contestant because, you know, my heart starts beating really fast. And then I don't know that I'd be fast enough. And if you are, then suddenly, well, at my age, I'm forgetting everything. So then I can't, you know, grab the actual answer. If I had time to think about it, I would be okay. But that's not the game.
No, quick recall. So the thing is, like, I mean, obviously, you know, someone's on Jeopardy, they have to be a fairly intelligent person. But I would say they have to have a specific kind of intelligence where, like, a wide range of knowledge and the ability to recall things quickly.
Quickly, that's key.
There's lots of different kinds of intelligence. Yeah. That happens to be one that's kind of in my lane that I tend to do pretty well with. So, and the thing too is like, so there obviously, like everything I just described as far as the actual audition process doesn't involve the like really using a buzzer. And so the buzzer is a whole other thing. Like they have whole books about that. Like, my new friend Adam, who was on there on the tape day, read a book literally about Jeopardy the buzzer. Yes.
So was it a challenge for you?
Well, I mean,
I guess we'll have to see.
I guess we'll find out
what happens tonight.
I mean, I think that everyone finds a challenge to some degree because it's like, let's say that you were a very good basketball player and you made it to the NBA and you're about to go in for the first time. They get you up to the scorer's table. And they say, all right, cool. So we're going to put you in. But first, you got to hit a 90-mile-per-hour fastball, a skill out of baseball, totally unrelated to your basketball skills that you know you have. And if you can manage to do that, then you can go in and play basketball. That's kind of what it's like. And something you don't see on the screen on TV is when the clue is up, after Ken finishes reading, there are blue lights on either side of the board. There's a person in the back who, as soon as he's done saying the clue, then they hit a button and it makes those lights go on. You can't actually buzz in until then. Or if you do, you get locked out for 0.2 seconds.
Okay.
So, but that's one school of thought, is to watch the lights. The other one is to just wait until he's done, like try to time it like right after he's done and then hit the buzzer. This idea of basically like, don't do anything stupid, do no harm. Like the thing is, it's not like if you don't know the answer and you buzz in, say it wrong, that's just neutral. Like you actually go backwards.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
So you can help yourself out by not answering.
Right.
You can only know like a third of everything that's on the board and still do great because you picked your battles and you didn't try to get in when you didn't know it. Maybe you let other people miss it. So
Matt, is this going to be weird watching yourself tonight? Because I'm not going to say, are you nervous? Because you've already done the work.
I did.
You're going to be watching with friends and family. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to, I'm sure, be a fun night. But is that going to be weird watching yourself? Are you used to watching yourself?
Probably. Well, so I remember when I was first performing and leading worship music and things. And I remember being creeped out by my own voice coming back through the speakers through the mic. That's, I think, really common. You've probably dealt with that yourself early on.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah. And so I got past that clearly, but then there's also like, I've been on TV before, but almost every time it's been live. And any other time it's been like a music sort of, like I did something with, WITF a while back, it was a session there, and that was really cool. But the main difference is like, this is the Alex Trebek stage. Like, this is a show I watched pretty much my whole life. and then it's going to be, that's me.
Yeah.
And
you are a Jeopardy nerd. Yeah.
I'm curious how my son's going to react. Probably have a puzzled look on his face for a little bit. So yeah, it'll be interesting. But the thing is, it's been interesting watching the games earlier this week because I saw them live. I know the people, like actually all of us from the green room are like, we keep in touch through like text and Instagram and things.
That's great.
It's like we're old college buddies because we spent this one pretty incredible day in all of our lives together. And there's also things we could talk about among ourselves that until things roll out live, we actually couldn't publicly. Right. So, yeah, it's definitely camaraderie there. It's a ton of fun. Except when we were directly competing against each other, we were all very much rooting for each other.
Yeah. So. Well, good. Well, yeah. I am so happy for you.
Thank you.
I wish we had like an hour to talk. Yeah, there's so many questions I could ask, but I know you have to get next door.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
you have gonna, to go over there up, and we, help family set up.
Yes, I've written a custom song on the ukulele to welcome everyone to the occasion. And I'm also brought my suit jacket as well, which I didn't wear on the way here because it's hot outside. But I'm planning to wear the same clothes I wore on the episode you'll see this evening.
Oh, that's great!
I don't think there's gonna be an opportunity to really like act like I'm going into the screen exactly, but I don't know. We'll see what I do with that. But either way,
that might really mess with your son. Yeah, you're doing
it's like,
that.
Wait, he walked into the television. That's really strange.
So tell everybody where do we watch WHP,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, WHP, CBS 21. And depending on like how you get your TV, it might be a different number. I know cable oftentimes it's different numbers. Like right. Middletown, it's channel 9, but
7:30.
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. in case anyone's listening online from like Central Time Zone, and also Hulu and Peacock. You can stream it starting 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
If you have YouTube TV like we do, you could just DVR it and watch it whenever you want.
So I'll let you get to work. And yeah, again, congratulations.
Thank you. And welcome back. You weren't here last time I was here.
Yes, I know. You Holly were here with Holly.
And she was fantastic. But yeah. It's nice to see you back as well.
Thanks so much. On the way next, we're going to hear from Ellie Holcomb.